Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Before returning to our study in Galatians chapter 4, I want to remind you again that we count upon our radio listeners for part of the support that enables us to stay on the station, and as a gift of appreciation to any radio listener who will send us a gift of any amount, we want to send you a copy of Tom Wells' book, Come Home Forever. I'll read just a bit off the back cover. It says, in simple, clear language, this book shows us the way to God and urges us to come home to God forever. It is a book to read and to give to non-Christian friends. The author is well known for his evangelistic books. Published by Evangelical Press, containing about, looks like, 79 pages, and will be given to you out of gratitude for a gift of any amount to help support the Beacon Broadcast on this station. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Thank you so much for your consideration. Well, back to Galatians 4:16, that statement of Paul's that has long intrigued me when he says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, that, of course, follows verse 15. And in verse 15, there are three questions. Paul says, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, there are three questions that are either stated or implied here. The first one is, what became of the blessing you once enjoyed? The second one is, what became of the affection you once experienced? And thirdly, what became of the respect you once rendered? What became of the blessing you once enjoyed? I'm talking to somebody today who understands exactly the meaning of that question. There was a time when you enjoyed the blessings of God, the blessings of church, the blessings of Christian fellowship, and it's gone. You no longer enjoy those blessings. They're gone. Where did they go? What became of the blessing you once enjoyed? Well, I would suggest to you that it probably went the same place, that the same way, that the blessing departed from the Galatians to whom Paul is writing, and it all has to do with truth. Your unwillingness to deal with some aspect of truth that God brought into your life, God placed across your path, and rather than dealing with it, you started avoiding it, and in avoiding that, you avoided the people who had been such a blessing to you. The pastor that God had used to bless you, the church that God had used to bless you, others that God had used to bless you, you have avoided them because you are unwilling to deal with the truth. And that's what became of the blessing you once enjoyed. And that's also what became of the affection that you once experienced. You used to have a love for these people. Now, it's gone. Where did it go? What happened to it? Same thing. The truth that you will not deal with has become a barrier and has robbed you of that affection that you once enjoyed. And of course, that will also affect your respect for those who have been used of God to be a blessing in your life. And that's what Paul is communicating here. Have I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, you no longer respect me as a friend, as a man of God, as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a servant of the Most High God, but now you consider me an enemy, somebody to be avoided, somebody who will do you damage, not good, if you get around me? Have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth? And so when they rejected the truth that Paul spoke to them, they lost their joy. They became uneasy. They became agitated and unsettled and fearful. When they responded to the truth that Paul spoke to them, they experienced joy and love, and they respected Paul. But now when they rejected the truth, they lost their joy. They lost their love. They lost their strong affection for Paul. They no longer liked him. And they thought it was something about him. But no, it's something about you. They changed their opinion. They viewed Paul as an enemy, one who disturbed their peace, one who threatened their welfare, one who did not have their interests at heart. They questioned his motives. They no longer enjoyed his preaching. They no longer benefited from his preaching. And why? Was Paul any less an effective preacher and a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ than he was before? Paul hadn't changed. They had changed. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Who changed? Paul or the Galatians? What changed? Paul's faithful ministry of the word or their willingness to accept and apply truth to their lives? Fortunately, God apparently enabled the Galatians to understand what was happening. God, the Holy Spirit, used this epistle of Paul to convict them, to correct them, to cause them to acknowledge what was wrong and where they had gone wrong, and to return to the place of blessing, the place of joy, the place of love, the place of respect for Paul once again. And some of you need to do the same thing. Please understand what has happened in your life. Please understand what needs to be done. Please understand your danger if you continue to fail to respond properly to the truth. And let me give you four common human weaknesses that you need to guard against for your own spiritual welfare. Number one, the fickleness of popular opinion. Some people got a little uneasy about their relationship with Paul when Paul was in the Roman dungeon. Because if he was in the dungeon, then the world certainly didn't esteem him very highly. They looked down upon him as a criminal, as a low-class member of society. He's in prison. And unfortunately, the indication of Paul's epistles is that some of his Christian friends pulled away from him during that time. Instead of rallying around him to support him, to encourage him, to strengthen him, to befriend him when he needed it more than ever, some pulled away from him because they were more concerned about popular opinion. They were more concerned about what other people thought about Paul and what other people would think about them if they identified with Paul than they were concerned about truth and Christian love and Christian responsibility to befriend servants of Christ who are being persecuted for faithfully standing for him. So there's the first common human weakness to guard against for your own spiritual welfare. Guard against the fickleness of popular opinion. Number two, guard against the inclination to glamorize the new and depreciate the familiar. That's what was happening here. When Paul was preaching the word of God to them, of course he was a new guy. And it was new and exciting. And many people were drawn to him, some perhaps more out of the fascination with the new personality than perhaps with the truth that he proclaimed. Now, Paul was old hat. He'd been around for a long time. They knew him well. And now along came a new group of people, these Judaizers, false teachers, and they were the new guys on the block. They were stirring the interest. And there's an inclination in the heart of man to glamorize the new and to depreciate the familiar. Isn't that what Christ meant when he said a prophet is not with honor except in his own country? Why not in his own country? Because they're familiar with him there. And so they tend to depreciate him where they know him. They've known him all his life. They don't feel like honoring him. He goes someplace else where he's unknown. They honor him. He's the new guy. He's popular. Of course, he's around for a while and they start depreciating him and glamorizing somebody else. Isn't that the way it is? We see it in our town when a new church starts up or perhaps takes on new life. Some new pastor comes to town and he's got some new... church growth techniques and things begin to take off, and suddenly people start leaving established churches and going to this new one where everything is new and exciting. And it's a human inclination to glamorize the new and depreciate the familiar. And the proof of that is that that's all it is that just wait and a few more years go by and you can see the cycle repeated. Another new glamorous church comes along, and sure enough, the same people that ran over to that one now run over to the new one, because their old one that was so wonderful when they first went to it, they just thought it was the greatest thing that had ever come along. Well, now that's old and familiar. That pastor's been around a while. He doesn't seem quite so glamorous anymore. So the inclination to glamorize the new and depreciate the familiar. Number three, tendency to blame shift. We all have that, don't we? Started back with Adam in the garden. It's not me, God, it's that woman that you gave me. And the woman says, oh no, it's not me, I'm not the problem, it's the serpent. Everybody's shifting blame instead of taking their own responsibility. That's what was happening with the Galatians. Why did they consider him, that is Paul, their enemy? Because he told them a truth that they did not want to deal with. And rather than saying, I'm to blame because I have departed from the purity of the gospel to be mesmerized by this false gospel of the false teachers, that was wrong, I see it now, I accept responsibility, I'm at fault, please forgive me. Instead of doing that, and in that way, being restored to their former joy and blessing from God, the tendency to blame shift. And when you blame shift, then you don't get restored, because you're not dealing with the problem, which is your own sin and failure. But the other guy's sin and failure is worse than mine. Maybe, maybe not, but that's not your responsibility. And it's not a justification for yours. You just deal with yours. And the fourth common human weakness is the corrosiveness of a critical spirit. When people get out of sorts, get a burr under their saddle, because they're not dealing with truth, then they so often begin to sow discord among the brethren. They start dragging others down. Don't do that. So let me give you the solution. Number one, pledge yourself to an overriding commitment to God's Word as supreme truth. Give yourself to the proposition that the Bible controls and corrects all human opinions. Number two, seek an ability to understand God's Word and apply it honestly to every area of your life, like the noble Bereans. You'll need to pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to help you with this. Number three, develop a willingness to deal with errors in your own thoughts and actions whenever they are exposed by God's Word. Develop a willingness to deal with errors in your own thoughts and actions whenever they are exposed by God's Word. And number four, renew your appreciation for faithful messengers of God's Word who are committed to understanding and declaring truth and are courageous enough to tell you what you need to hear even when you don't want to hear it. That's the solution to the four common human weaknesses that I mentioned earlier. If you will apply that solution, you will be blessed spiritually. If you fail to do so, you will be damaged by error, and most of all, damaged by your own inner man, unwilling to deal with the truth that God has brought into your life. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.